Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Barb Buxman. Welcome, Barb. It's wonderful to have you with me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
As you know, with these episodes, we do start at the beginning. So, Barb, I'm pretty sure you're not a native Oregonian, but I'm not quite sure where you did start life. Can you tell me that story?
Well, it's a long story. I was born in the Central Valley of California, Reedley, born and raised there.
How long did you actually live there?
Until we got married. Bob and I got married. I was quite young. We had our first child, and then we moved to Nova Scotia. That's where we did our first service assignment when we were young marrieds with a new baby.
So we're going to go back. I just want to get a sense of how long you lived where you were born, and the answer is
20 years.
Was that area of California sort of where your family had been for generations, or do you know what that story is?
I just read some genealogy. My paternal grandmother was born in Russia, and the rest were born in California. Actually, my grandfather was born in Dallas, Oregon, which is where we lived for quite a number of years. So, yeah, the California area. My mother came from Kansas, Nebraska, and settled in California when she was a teenager.
And what were your parents doing for an occupation when you were born?
My father went into the service a couple years before. He was in the Navy. And so a couple years before I was born, that's what he was doing. And my mother, my growing up years, they were farm laborers. They worked in the packing houses, and my dad made boxes for the fruit, and mother packed fruit.
What fruit?
Whatever came, grapes, peaches, nectarines, plums, whatever came through the packing house in the Central Valley at that time. So I grew up on a packing house parking lot, learned to ride an adult-sized man's bike when I was about 5 or 6, and we rode around, we played in the boxcars while just running around the box makers and the fruit packers, and that's where we grew up.
Did your parents own the land where you lived?
Oh, no. No, we didn't. No, we didn't have land. We lived in the town. We had a house in town, but they did own that.
How many siblings do you have, and where do you fit in the family?
I am the second of 5. I have 4 brothers.
Did you ever wish you had a sister?
No.
Say more.
You know, I could see that I was my dad's favorite, and I could see that I had a bedroom all to myself and my 4 brothers shared, and I kind of liked that. Of course, over the years now, in recent years, I have my mother. She's like my best friend. She's like my sister, but yeah.
Did you go to public school?
Yes, through grade school. I went to public school through the 8th grade, and then our Mennonite churches in the area had a high school with about 200 students, and that's where I attended high school, was a Mennonite Brethren school.
Did you like school in those early years?
I didn't dislike it. I had a bad experience with a move. When my brothers were growing older, my dad thought we should live on a farm so they wouldn't get into trouble. So we moved from Reedley to Dinuba, all of 12 miles away. And so that was when I was going into 7th grade. And that was a real traumatic experience for me. It was just really difficult to change schools at that age. So those 2 years were very difficult. Other than that, school was fine. I was a good student, but I was pretty social and liked the social aspect of it. Had a lot of friends.
So in those years of elementary school, when you were still in town, did you walk to school or?
Yes, yes. One thing I remember as a child, not going to school, but as a child, I couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old. We just moved into our house that my dad had built. And my mom gave me a nickel and sent me at least 10 blocks to walk and buy a loaf of bread by myself. As a 6-year-old, I just thought that was amazing. And yes, my friend and I, when I was 4 years old, a girl moved in next door, and she had two brothers, and we became fast friends, and we still are good friends. So she and I did everything together, and we walked to school together. Sharon Krause.
So in some ways, maybe she was almost like a sister as well.
Right, right. Could have been. Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have to share a bedroom.
No, nor did she.
And you could empathize with each other with your brothers.
Right, right.
What was your relationship with those brothers like?
Boy, in those years, I just remember them teasing me and tickling me until I finally said one day, I am not going to be ticklish anymore. And I wasn't then. No, so no longer am I ticklish. But, you know, I loved them. We did everything together. I remember playing games and being together. Yeah, it was a good relationship. I don't remember being on the outs with any of them. My older brother, he was 2 years older, and he would drive me to school. He got these old cars, and he would drive me to school. He got himself into some trouble, and I kind of protected him, didn't squeal. So, you know, we were real close. We still are, somewhat. Yeah, good relationships.
And as the only girl, were there things that you were supposed to be doing, say, around the house that maybe your brothers didn't have to, or wasn't there that kind of an issue in your family?
When we lived on the farm, yeah, I did girl things and they did boy things. I did the in-the-house things. My mother always worked, so I'd come home from school and there'd be a note on the desk that said, this is how you make dinner, 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's how I learned to cook. So I started cooking for the family, or at least doing the preparation. I did house cleaning and those kinds of things. And the boys did the outside work. It wasn't until long after we were married that Dad let me drive the tractor and we helped the boxing of the raisins and that kind of work. But no, mostly I did inside girl things.
So you did mention that the high school that you went to was related to your church. Tell me about church growing up. What was the denomination?
It was the Mennonite Brethren. Let me back up. When my parents got married, my dad was not a believer, and my mother was excommunicated from the church. Now, he grew up in a Christian family, but he himself just chose not to be a believer. So that's in my background, that she had to come around, and when he became a Christian, then later, through her influence, she had to work her way back into the church or follow all the rules, whatever that was. We went to church then, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time the door was open. We lived a block from the church, so I would play at the church. And my friend and I, Sharon and I, would go to the church, and we'd help fold bulletins, and we'd run around. We knew that church backwards and forwards, and I don't know of any other kids that played there in the church, but there was the secretary there allowed us to be in the church and just play there. So what's the rest of your question?
Just asking about what church life was like, and it sounds like it was an important part of your growing up years.
Yes.
Was this the same denomination from which your mother had been excommunicated earlier?
Yes, yes. So then, as a young person, when my father then came to be a believer, he also became a teacher. And so he had a ministry with migrant workers, where on Sunday morning, instead of going to the big church, we would pack up our family and this portable little piano organ thing, and we'd go out to this little community where there were a bunch of little houses they were Filipinos living in this community just outside of town. And that's where we would go, and we would have a Sunday school service there. And we would always, after that service, we would pack everything up, and then we would come into the big church. We would always be late, and we'd walk in the front door and we'd sit in the front row. But I grew up in that little Sunday school with those migrant workers.
So you got used to being around people who spoke other languages, maybe looked and did things differently from very early on.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Did you think about that, or was it just like that's how life was?
I didn't think about it at all. Never. No. We had them in our schools. I mean, my first boyfriend had the last name of Rodriguez. you know, I mean, it just, that was just part of who we are, who we were.
So when you went to high school, how far away was that?
At that time, we lived in Dinuba on the farm. And so it was 10, 12 miles. It was in Reedley, right near the church. And we kept going to that Reedley church. So, but it was about a 12 miles. My brother would drive me or else I would go on the bus. The bus came out there.
As you were getting into those teenage years, was any particular subject starting to be of interest to you? Did you have any idea what might come next? Or
no, I don't remember that. I mean, I always liked math, but no, I don't remember anything specific.
And was there a plan to go to college? Was that a part of your family tradition?
That was not a part of our family. In fact, Bob and I started dating when I was about 12 years old, so I was a freshman. And by the time I graduated, they just figured we would just get married, the family. But I wanted to go to a business school. I was interested in business. My mom had always done bookkeeping. So there was a college in a nearby town. It was business college. So I wanted to go there, and it was going to cost about $1,000, which was a big amount for our family. And people were coming to explain to me at home. They came to our home, and we were filling out papers. And my dad says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. You're just going to quit and get married. So I went for about 6 months. I moved into Fresno. I lived in an apartment with three other women. And after 6 months, I quit and got married.
Was Dad right?
Yep, he was right. But I did get some good education. I mean, I learned some good things. And just living in a apartment setting, I mean, I think that's a big part of education as well. So, yeah.
So tell me about this guy that you ended up marrying, and we'll just say that his name is Bob Buxman, and that name will mean a lot to most people. You said you met in school, high school?
We went to the same church together. So from the time we were in grade school, nursery, we've always known each other. So we started dating when I was a freshman. What that meant in those days was he'd take me home from a basketball game or something. We didn't like to date, but that started quite young. We just seemed to click. He always came over. He was my brother's age. He was my brother's friend of growing up through, you know, through grade school into high school. And then pretty soon he quit seeing my brother and he started coming to see me. And my brother didn't like that too much, but that's how it was.
Is this your older brother?
Yes.
When did you know that this was going to be the guy? Was there an official engagement at some point or?
Yeah, I mean, he asked me to marry. It just happened in those days. We went together for 5 years, and pretty soon you just did get married. So it was a matter of when, or all of our friends were getting married, and that's what we did.
So how old were you actually when you got married?
I was 18. He was 20, and had already been to university for a couple of years.
And then you headed off to, you said, Nova Scotia?
Yes. After 2 years of marriage, when I was 20, we went to Nova Scotia. Our denomination had a Christian service program. And there were about 30 young people in Nova Scotia at that time. They needed teachers. It was during the Vietnam War, so 68. And so they needed teachers. And so because we had a baby also at that time, he was deferred from serving, but we wanted to go anyway. And so he taught school and I did bookkeeping for those 30 young people, the paychecks and paid bills and whatever organization needs to happen for that kind of a group.
Was this the first time that you'd been that far from home for any length of time?
Uh-huh. Yes.
What was that like? Was that exciting? Did you get homesick or?
No, I didn't. And it was in the days when you didn't even really make phone calls very often. Everything cost money and my parents didn't have any and we didn't have that much. So we just kind of made this group of people our family. We wrote lots of letters and our parents came to visit one time during the 2 years. And Yeah, no, I don't remember being that homesick. I mean, I could have been, but I was busy with a new baby and a new situation, and we met some wonderful people there who we continued to be in contact with until just last year. We went to see them again. Actually, we had two young women, two sisters that came home with us, came back to California. They were seniors in high school. They lived with my parents and went to the same Christian high school that Bob and I had gone to. Yeah, it's been fun reconnecting with them now as women. They seemed so much younger at the time, but actually they're only about 5 years younger than us. So that was good. Yeah.
And these 2 years, were you volunteers?
Yes. Yes. So our expenses were paid and we got like $40 for shampoo and diapers and things. But other than that, yeah.
So then after those 2 years, you came back to California, and then what? Did you know what was going to be next, or was the plan just kind of settle down there, or what?
We did not, but Bob had a degree in viticulture, the growing of grapevines. So he started looking for vineyards to manage. And it was at that time we lived about 6 months on his family farm, and then he found a job further south toward the mountains. And he managed 500 acres of vineyard. And that was at that time that the Cesar Chavez movement was very prominent in Delano. And he was management. So those were some difficult years for him. And that was how we decided to go to seminary. It was time to figure this out. It was really unclear to us why these kinds of labor issues could not be resolved. So he decided to go to seminary. His father was also sick at that time. And so we moved to the family farm, and Bob and I and his mom farmed the family farm, which was, we had 100 and some acres we were farming near Fresno. And then he went to school.
And where did he go to seminary?
The Mennonite Brethren Biblical Seminary there in Fresno. It was about a good half hour drive from our house to the school every day. Well, not every day, but when he went. And there were a couple of things on the farm that I could not or would not do. And so on those days, I would go to class and take notes. And then he would work on the farm. So we kind of shared that. It didn't happen real often, but a few times.
So he would stay home and you would go to class and take notes for him.
Yeah.
During those years when he was down managing the vineyards, what were you doing then? Were you a full-time mother, or did you have an outside job? What were you doing?
All the years of our marriage, most of the years, I was a stay-at-home mom when the kids were growing up. So I was the backup person. I also did some babysitting. I had three little ones and kept 3 to 5 other kids at a time. So I just had a lot of kids in the house all the time. It wasn't like for the money. It was just like to have more to do, I guess. I don't know.
Do you like little children?
I love them. Yes.
So it was all right with you that you were at home taking care of children?
Oh, that was a choice. Yes. That was during the time when many women were trying to find their place and trying to be somebody besides. And I was very clear that I wanted to be an at-home mom. That's who I was. In the beginning, I wanted 12 kids, you know, but after about 3, we decided that was enough.
So he goes to seminary, and was the idea that he would become a pastor of a church somewhere? Was that kind of the idea?
No, it wasn't until the very end, and it was getting close to graduation, that we started thinking, and someone put the bug in our ear and said, well, would you like to be a pastor? Oh, no, they said, where would you like to go as a pastor? And we think, well, we hadn't really thought about that. He just had thought about the education that he wanted. And then very soon after that, the Dallas, Oregon church called us and seemed to be a good fit. And we said, why not? It was at that time we had to make a decision to leave the farm because his mother needed to sell the farm if we weren't going to take it. We could have taken it over at that time. One of the best decisions we ever made. So anyway, we left the farm at that time and moved to Dallas.
And how long were you in Dallas?
14 years. So our youngest daughter was going into kindergarten when we moved there. And when she graduated from high school is when we left. So all of her growing up was there in Dallas. And then the older two were, most of their schooling was there in Dallas. Small town, great place to raise kids at that time.
And was there a bit of an international population in that area as well? Something you'd been used to or not so much?
No, not at all. It was very white.
And what came next?
Well, when it was coming to the end, we had one person in our church who continually put papers on Bob's desk from MCC, and she would highlight things that he should read. And sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't, but we kind of got that Mennonite Central Committee in the back of our brain. And so actually when the older two kids were in high school, we had a dream to go somewhere and take them on a mission with us. But our son said, you know, he says, I'm in line to have full scholarships at university. And if I take a year or two away, he says, that'll take that completely away. And I'll lose that opportunity. Of course, later when they look back, they say, we should have done it. We should have done it. That would have been a great experience. But so we waited until the youngest was out of high school. Then we applied with the Mennonite Brethren Mission Board, but they just felt like Mennonite Central Committee was the better choice for us. And so we applied and were accepted to go to Costa Rica. So we were in Costa Rica for a year and a half, way out in the boonies, far away. But we related to all of the churches within the country. So we did a lot of traveling on buses and finally later on got a car and were able to travel to some really remote areas. And then after a year and a half, our boss, I guess, felt like they were wasting our energies being in this little community far away from anywhere, and they could see our administrative skills, and so asked us to move to Nicaragua and be in charge of the team there. When we were in Costa Rica, every 3 months we had to leave the country to renew our visitor visa. So we would go to Nicaragua and hang out with the Nicaragua team, so we knew them, go for a weekend or a week at a time, and then come back into the country for another 3 months. In that year and a half, that's what we did. So anyway, that's what they asked us to be the country representatives for Nicaragua. And we said only if we could keep Costa Rica. So we kept both countries and we kept traveling back and forth. But we were there for another 4.5 years in total with Mennonite Central Committee.
So at some point you became very fluent in Spanish. What was it like to learn another language, or had you been around some of that growing up and learned a bit, or?
We didn't know anything. We were 45 years old when we started taking classes one-on-one with a teacher for 4 hours a day. We each had our own teacher. We lived in a home with a family, and it was so hard. It was very hard. And Bob and I both learned differently. He's a visual person and I'm a tonal. So we learned differently, but when we're together, we can put together sentences and we can convey what it is we wanted to share.
And was this in Costa Rica that happened?
We studied in Guatemala, way in the highlands of Guatemala.
So before you went to Costa Rica, even you
yes.
did this?
Yeah, 3 months. 3 months.
And where in Guatemala?
Xela. It's called Quetzaltenango. Yeah. So we lived with the same family the whole time, and then we'd go back and forth to the city and relate with the Guatemala team at that time, too, which was quite a long bus ride.
So this was like a major, major change, right, as you were hitting sort of midlife.
Right. And our youngest daughter had just gone off to college, and she felt stranded. She still talks about it, actually. She felt like we just deserted her. Anyway, it was a hard time because she was just new in university and didn't have a home, didn't have a place to go to. I said, oh, you're so lucky. You can go anywhere. You can go here. You can go there. You can do this and that, you know, on holidays or whatever. But she didn't appreciate that so much. But
were there ever times when you started to second guess whether or not you'd done the right thing, or was there never that kind of a question?
Not really. No, we We were happy. We knew we were in the right place. Yeah. So we were the leaders in Nicaragua. We were the leaders of a team of about 15 people, 10 to 15 people. So there I managed all the finances, you know, $1 million budget, and walked around the country with big loads of cash. In those days, there weren't credit cards. There weren't even cell phones. We were just starting to get email. And anyway, yeah. So we were relating to the volunteers that lived out in the countryside.
And what was going on in Nicaragua? Was the political situation fairly stable at that point? Or
it was. These were the years of Chamorro. So it was after Daniel Ortega had lost power. So it was kind of an in-between and very tranquil time. It was still dangerous. I mean, there were always people with guns standing on every corner, but it did not feel unsafe to me. I mean, I was able to travel around the country by myself in buses and that kind of thing.
So we're getting close to the end here, and we have to get you to Portland Mennonite. So we're going to just zoom forward and tell me how you ended up in Portland, Oregon, and at Portland Mennonite.
At the end of our Nicaragua years, our mothers were getting older, and we thought maybe it was time we moved back to Reedley. Then that position opened up with the West Coast office for West Coast director of MCC. So we were accepted at that position, and we filled that one full-time position, the two of us. That was one of the decisions we made early on in our life, is that we both didn't want to ever work at the same time full-time, because we didn't need the money and we didn't want to work that hard. So our jobs had always been just half and half. So then after being in Reedley for 8 years, our daughter and her two babies moved to the Northwest, and we decided we didn't want to live far away from all of our children. We wanted to at least live by one. So we moved to Portland, and MCC accepted Bob as the Northwest Director of Church Relations. It was at that time that the Northwest per capita giving per capita was higher in the United States. The Northwest was higher than anywhere else in the U.S. per capita.
To MCC.
MCC. So they felt like they needed a representative here. So he took a part-time kind of role and started the Material Resource Center and that kind of stuff. And Portland Mennonite being the only Mennonite church in the area for us, we just started attending. Actually, it probably happened later when I started working for the Pacific Northwest Mennonite Conference and needing to have a church home. So we brought our membership to the Portland Mennonite.
And do you remember when that was?
Maybe 2010. We moved here in 2006. So it was about 2010 when we brought our membership.
And it's been working for you?
Yes. Yes.
I'll just put out here that you and I are both in the same small group right now, one of the small groups. And so we actually know each other fairly well, or at least we're learning to.
Yeah.
Well, there's obviously many, many more stories. We could have spent the whole time during your MCC time in Central America, I'm sure. But thank you, Barb, so much for taking the time to give us this little glimpse into your life and how you ended up where you are right now.
Thank you, Gloria.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.